Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment.
To JGB Sports episode 54. This is Merrimack at Coppin State, and this is first Coppin State game in nearly 2 weeks, this series. We mentioned last week that the game against Navy had been called off because of weather. There was no game last weekend. I said it looked like, I wrote down in my notes that they were supposed to face Yale, but then that disappeared from the schedule, so I don't know if I wrote something down wrong. It is unusual for a team not to have a game at this time of year. Anyway, whatever. There was no game this week. And then Wednesday, that game got postponed. This week was the game against Navy. The previous week was against, I don't know, somebody. But yeah, so this was the first game. This is the start of the NEC play. Now, what I hadn't realized was, going back to last season, Coppin's actually on a 6-game winning streak in the NEC. They won 2 straight series. I think, if you're going to put me on the spot, I know you didn't, I think it was Norfolk State and Delaware State. I think were the last two, anyway. All right, tell us about game one. Oh, also, before we talk about this, was supposed to be Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We were going to try and get to the game on Saturday, and they announced on Thursday, heavy rain, games got cancelled, we're going to do a doubleheader on Friday. I was like, oh my gosh. So, yeah, we didn't get to see any of this. I did get to listen to some of this on the radio during my planning period, and some of the second game we listened to in the evening as well. All right, tell us about game one then.
Okay, no runs in the first, second inning. 1-1. Mm-hmm. And then in the 7th inning, it was 2-1 Coppin. Mm-hmm. Then in the 8th, it was 7-1 Coppin.
7-3.
Oh, wait, yeah, 7-3.
So Merrimack got 2 in the top of the 8th, so they'd actually given the lead away. It was 2-1. 3-2, and then Coppin got 5 in the bottom of the 8th, so they're suddenly leading by 7-3. Bit of a rally in the 9th.
One run for Merrimack. Coppin didn't need to bat.
And that's it, yeah. 7-4, 8 hits for Merrimack, 9 for Coppin State.
No errors.
And no errors at all. Pretty quick game, 2 hours and 15 minutes. Started at 12:04, high 50s for the weather. And I don't know if you want to take a look at the Coppin State batters. I'm going to give you the Coppin State pitchers. Nico Felber pitched a complete game.
Okay.
9 innings, only 8 hits, so less than a hit an inning. 4 earned runs, just 1 walk, and 3 strikeouts. So the comment that I was listening to was, I think it was in the 8th. Yeah, it was in the 8th. Nico was pitching, and the comment on the commentary was, there's nobody warming up in the bullpen, so they're obviously going to... So it was a kind of a close game, but that shows you how much faith coach has in Nico. And thankfully, those bats in the bottom of the 8th meant that Nico did take the win. And with it being a doubleheader, always good if you can save your pitching staff for the second game, for sure. Anything you noticed from the Coppin State batting figures?
Daniel Moore had 2 runs.
He did, on no hits.
I don't know.
He had 1 bases on ball, so the other one must have been a fielder's error.
Bases loaded, maybe?
It must have been a fielder's error. A fielder's choice. So he might have been running to first, and they just took the lead guy on second. So he got on base, but he didn't actually get a hit. Yeah, that's unusual when somebody has more runs than they have hits. That doesn't happen too often.
Kai and Sam both had 3 hits.
Now, I made a comment earlier. I said Sam Neves, and you looked at me. We said Sam Nieves. On commentary, they said Sam Neves. Now, I'm sure when he comes up to bat, though, they say Sam Nieves. So I'm not sure if the commentator got it wrong or the announcers got it wrong. And now I'm really confused. So I don't know which one it is. I do want to talk about a couple of people who are at the top of the lineup here, though. Anthony DiVittorio was DHing. Yeah. Anthony was 2nd in the nation before this series for bases on balls per match. It was like 1.7 bases per balls per match. He's walking a lot.
So he got 2 on base on balls in more games than he got 1.
Correct. Yes, to increase that average, absolutely. I don't have the exact numbers, but I want to say it was 8 bases on balls in 5 games. Copping hasn't played as many games because they didn't play last weekend and they keep getting rained out midweek. And the other one was Angel Colon, and I don't think he's going to want this one. Angel leads the nation in Division 1 baseball anyway.
Hit by pitches with 7. Yeah.
Sorry, hit by pitches per game. I think it's 7. It was like 7 in 7 games. There's one other player. I cropped it out of the tweet that I made. Somebody's actually got hit 12 times in 12 games, which is also 1. I guess it goes alphabetically by the university. So Angel's ahead of that. Not a stat Angel, I'm sure.
Whoever got it first.
I'm sorry?
Or whoever got it first.
Well, the person who had 12 would have got it first, obviously. They would have got to 7 quicker. Obviously something Angel doesn't want, but I'm sure he's quite happy getting on base each time. That would obviously be really helpful. I think you picked out the people who are getting the big hits. Looking from the Merrimack side, most number of hits was 2, and then it's kind of 1 for pretty much everybody, so nobody really kind of stood out on that one. Just looking at key stats from this one, I was trying to see if there was any home runs for this one. The only homer I noticed is right at the end, in the 9th inning. Chattel homered down the left field line, but at that point it was just a single run, so it didn't really matter. All right, what about game 2 then? So there would have probably been about a 30-40 minute break in between. This one started at 2:55.
We would have used that time to go to McDonald's.
You would normally do that, so you get your hot chocolate, correct.
All right, first inning, 2-0 Coppin.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good. In the 5th inning, 4-0 Coppin.
Mm-hmm.
Then in the 9th inning, 4-4
uh-huh.
tied.
Yep.
Then in the 12th inning, walk-off homer by Damon.
Mm-hmm.
Opposite field for a 5-4 win.
13 hits apiece, no errors again, under 3 hours again, even though it was 12 innings. Now, one thing I'd forgotten was, I was thinking with it a double header that it would be 7 innings per match. In NEC play, that doesn't happen. So for NEC, they do play the full 9 innings. Obviously, because otherwise they would have ended the game, right? After 7 innings, Coppin were winning 4-0, but they had to carry on. What else have we got on this? Temperature's obviously going to be the same. Attendance should be the same, I'm guessing. Actually, they don't list the attendance on this one.
I know, they didn't.
Huh, I didn't notice that until... Normally, it's been 75 for the last few ones. I'm going to do the pitching stats if you want to start looking at the individual performances.
Okay.
Alec Elgers, 8 innings, 6 hits, no runs, no earned runs, just a single base on balls and 5 strikeouts. And unfortunately, John Neild came in, and it looked like a pretty safe position, 4 runs up. Didn't manage to complete a single out, and 3 hits, 3 runs, all of them earned. And John was out within 7 pitches, unfortunately. Regan Rivera came... Is it Regan or Regan, I think? Regan Rivera came in, therefore took the win. 4 innings, so he pitched out the rest of that match, including the extras. Just 4 hits, 1 earned run, and 5 strikeouts on 59 pitches.
So Anthony got 2 hits.
Mm-hmm.
Kai, Damon, and Chris got 3.
Yeah, the top of that lineup was on fire.
Yeah, yep. And Angel also got 2.
Mm-hmm.
Damon got 3 runs.
Yep.
And Kai got 2.
Yeah, and I was, I think I was telling you at this point, I was like, it looks like they got the second game won. And then when I came back and was listening to it as I was making dinner, I was like, hold on, what happened here? I was like, this is, I thought the game was over, but no, it was still going. And I got to listen live as Damon hit his home run. They were calling for it, and it went. So it's always good. I think that puts Damon on 4 home runs for the season. And, that was Friday's action. That was 8 consecutive wins in the NEC. It looked like most of the NEC actually played doubleheaders, and I think most of the results were 2-0, as far as I can tell. And Sunday. Now, Saturday, like we said, was torrential rain. Sunday, I knew, was probably going to be a problem to get to. Big soccer game in England that I did not want to miss. And also, it was the last podcast, which is a live watch-along of that game with my good friend Matt, which I wanted to be part of as well. So we couldn't make Sunday's game. But it's the last one, so it's a little difficult. So I actually mentioned online, we were going to do something very different this week. On the Saturday, we saw that there was actually a roller derby event. Like, there was nothing to do indoors this weekend at all. And anyway, we went to Dulles Airport, the museum, the Air and Space Museum, took lots of pictures, had a great time, got up there, and there was nowhere to park. There was literally nowhere to park. We drove around for 20 minutes, couldn't find anywhere, and then we just gave up. So, yeah, it wasn't to be. But anyway, what about game three then? So what happened today at the time of recording? I don't think you know about this game. I think I gave you a couple of updates during the middle, but I don't think you saw the final.
Okay, first inning, 3-0 Merrimack.
Yep.
Second inning, 3-1 Merrimack. Mm-hmm. The third inning, tied 3-3.
Mm-hmm.
The fourth inning, 4-3 Coppin.
Yep.
In the fifth inning, 9-4
They gave
Merrimack.
Up 6 runs in the fifth. They've been doing that a few times this year. It's always tough when that happens. But we know Coppin can do a similar thing.
In the sixth, they got Coppin got 2.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the seventh, Coppin got 4.
So at that point, then, it's actually 10-9. So Coppin's taking the lead at this point.
And then in the eighth, it's tied 11-11.
Okay, so Merrimack scored 2, so they retook the lead, 11-10. And then Coppin scored 1, which tied the game up at 11. And it was tied in the ninth, which meant extra innings. So how did it finish?
The tenth, Merrimack got 5 runs.
They did.
16-11.
14 Merrimack. Hits for both, 1 error. Clay Thompson took the loss, but yeah, I would say you look at Merrimack's score, there was only 4 innings where they actually scored, a 3, a 6, a 2, and a 5, whereas Coppin was scoring fairly frequently. They were scoring a lot more. What do you notice?
10-75.
Yeah, 10-75. 3 hours and 28 minutes. Obviously a long game when it's going with that many hits. Only high 40s today. Sunny and very windy. There's been quite a few games this year where it's been sunny and very windy. The Coppin State pitchers, Caden Straley opened 4.1 innings, 5 hits, 5 earned runs, 5 bases on balls and 4 strikeouts. Giovanni Canales unfortunately could not get an out, gave up 2 earned runs. Liam McCollum came in. I think that's Liam's first pitching appearance of the year. I think the first 2 innings were shutout, and then it went 3. Final line was 3.2 innings, 4 runs, 3 of them earned, so that's obviously where the error occurred. And Clay Thompson came in for 1.1 inning, gave up 2 runs. That was a shame, because after his first inning, he didn't give up a run. I don't think he even gave up a hit, if I remember correctly. Regan Rivera again. Unfortunately, no outs registered and 3 earned runs in the ninth. And Jackson Montgomery came in, and that was the last pitcher. 0.2 innings pitched, but no earned runs. Any notable figures from the Coppin side on the bats?
Anthony got 3
lineup.
Hits.
Yep.
Damon and Chris got 2.
Yep.
Sam got 3.
Mm-hmm.
Victor got 2.
Yep. Victor was, I kept seeing his name coming up. So, yeah, he was had a good weekend.
Kai got 1.
Sam did too. Noticeable is the number of bats for each of these people. Like, Anthony went 3-for-5. Kai went 1-for-6. Damon went 2-for-6, and Chris went 2-for-4 because he actually had 2 walks within there as well. Oh, Anthony got a walk as well. That'll help him stay high on the nation's charts for bases on balls. And I'm just trying a quick look on the Merrimack side. I think the most significant one was Ferrantino, who was the third batter. Batting third, sorry. He had 3 hits and 3 RBIs. Although Sherman, I see, had 4 RBIs on just 2 hits.
I noticed that Brady and Ferrantino had, or whatever his name is, got 4 runs, both.
Yeah, and I just noticed here as well, in the 8th inning, Damon Gaither homered to right center. So perhaps I'm miscounting. I thought that I said 4 earlier. Perhaps that might be 5 now then. I don't know. Kind of losing track. I got to look at those overall statistics at some point. But yeah, DiVittorio right at the top doing... Doing great work there. Keeps getting those hits, and I'm not sure. I didn't remember looking. I didn't print them out in the end. I was looking at kind of casual stats to see for batting averages, and yeah, there's a few people over 300 right now. But some of the perhaps bigger names you'd expect for Coppin batting in the low 200s right now. So still early in the season. I know sometimes figures can get distorted very quickly, but it'll be interesting to see. Perhaps next time when we do an actual review, we'll look at some of those figures so we can see. All right, so. We wanted to talk about George Mason. We haven't talked about them for a while, JJ. We're not going to do the whole box scores, but do you want to give a little update? This is in March, so this is like games in like the last 10 days.
So they Fairfield. They faced Fairfield.
Mm-hmm.
In a 3-game series.
Yep.
They won the first one 3-0. Won the second one 8-0.
Mm-hmm.
And won the last one 9-8.
Ooh, that last one was close. Yep.
They. They faced Monmouth University in a three-game series.
Series, yep.
They won 6-5 in the first one, which was 10 innings.
Mm-hmm.
The second one, they won 2-1.
That was a doubleheader on Friday because they did kind of the same thing. And I don't know. They had a Sunday game. I did not look at that score. But yeah, the George Mason seemed to be doing pretty good. That's a 5-game win streak for them. And you said last episode you wanted to know how Holy Family did, because I said that they were the only unbeaten team in college baseball history, because they were 2-0. They did actually lose the first game on the Sunday, I saw.
1-2.
They lost 1-2. I didn't write down each individual game, but I did write down the overall scores. They lost to Shippenburg University 0-2, College of Staten Island 0-2, Thomas More 0-1, Davis and Elkins, they won 2-0. So their overall record right now is 5-7. But for a first-year team, I'm sure there's going to be struggles, because probably the lack of experience and the players getting to know each other. Like, these players didn't play with each other last year. So anyway, and I did look it up because you kind of asked me, who was the team that I said was in Baltimore and is going to be starting their first season in 2025? Notre Dame. Not that Notre Dame. Another Notre Dame in Baltimore. So, I don't know why there's two Notre Dames. But when
there's
first...
There's also one in Virginia. Notre Dame, Virginia, right?
Oh, I don't know.
Didn't we pass a... Wait, or was that in Ohio?
I don't know. No idea.
I don't know.
We Notre Dame you're thinking of, I believe, is in Indiana. Because I drove... I stopped there on my way to Charlotte.
The big Notre Dame's in Indiana, right?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Didn't we drive past Notre Dame, Virginia or something?
If we did, I don't remember. Yeah, I don't know anything about that one at all, unfortunately. Now, we normally do something about college. Last week I talked about college basketball. I actually want to talk about college basketball again very briefly. It was the end of the ACC race this week because they get towards the tournament. UNC beat Duke. Woohoo! Got to celebrate that one. So ACC, they'd already got at least a share of the title, but they beat Duke at Duke, so they won the ACC title overall, and the ACC tournament this week is actually in DC. Tickets for the early games are cheap. Well, we're at school, so that's not easy. One of the games is at 2:30. You're at school, and the other game is at 7. I think, or it might be 8. So that's kind of late during the week. So I don't know. I'll probably be watching it on Sling. I'm hoping it's actually. If I remember previously, you can actually watch it online. I don't think you even need the channels to watch it. Oh, actually, that might be the March Madness. That might not be the ACC tournament. I don't know. Now, name game. I don't see any notes from you, so it looks like I'm the only one.
I remember mine.
Looks like I'm the. Oh, you remembered yours?
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead. Actually, you had 3 written down last time. I said just give me one, and then you probably threw your piece of paper away. But all right, go on, man.
Do you have any?
Yeah. Luckily,
I forgot
yes.
my middle name.
Luckily, yes. Well, that doesn't matter as much, really, because I'm not going to get it from the middle name, probably, anyway.
MB.
MB?
The M isn't really his real name.
Well, I got no
but it's what so. People use. And it's kind of well known, yeah.
Kind of well known. Fantastic. Current player?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, you didn't even sound sure about that. Orioles?
No.
Okay. Oh, nobody responded last week. I think only High Five Tom's playing this game anyway. It was Al Bunbury. We mentioned him as an alumni of CSU, so we threw that one back in again. MB. Is this a pitcher?
No.
I don't know. This is way too difficult.
I can give you a hint.
Yeah, I'm going to need a hint, I think.
Red Sox to Dodgers.
Oh, Mookie Betts. Well, his middle initials L. If you'd have given me that, I might have got it, because his initials are MLB, like Mason's.
Oh.
So I probably would have got it from that one. Yeah, I don't remember what his middle name is.
I don't know either.
Now, mine might be... I don't know. We'll see. All right, the one for you then, JJ, is W. Roger C.
Are those his real initials?
No. His real name is actually his middle name. So it's really Roger C.
But do people use the W?
No.
Okay.
No, I can tell. Well, I told you the W is William. No. But he goes by his middle name.
Roger Clemens.
Roger Clemens. Now, I actually picked that because... The Savannah Bananas played their first game in a major league stadium last night, I believe. It was in Houston, and I think Clemens is in his 60s now. I think he's early 60s. He played well into his 40s, and that was when I moved to America 20 years ago. I think he got out of the inning without giving up a run, and I think Roy Oswalt also pitched, but I didn't think you'd know who Roy Oswalt was.
Roger Clemens played?
Well, the Savannah Bananas, yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, they can have their own rules. They don't need to. It's not like the major league teams. They can bring on whoever they want. They're not affiliated with MLB in any way, although MLB did report that he played. So, yeah, no, I was like, oh, I should look at Roger Clemens. And then when I saw his middle name was Roger, I was like, oh, my gosh. Well, you didn't get it from W. Roger, C. So I had to tell you it was Roger. So, anyway. And the one, in case High Five Tom or anyone else wants to play, is, and you got to stay quiet, JJ, is Peter W. Now, I don't think you would get it anyway, so we'll give a couple of clues. First one is, he first played in the MLB.
Wait, what's the last one?
In 1897. He played 21 seasons, and his nickname is the Flying Dutchman, because that was in the trivia quiz that we did last night.
I already remember that before.
You know who it is now.
Peter
W. First played in any of his 21 seasons in 1897, and his nickname is the Flying Dutchman. Very famous Hall of Famer. But I think that's it, JJ. Next week's game for Coppin State, unfortunately, is at Wagner University, which is Staten Island. But you have baseball tryouts next weekend. So as much as I would love to go and see that stadium, because you can actually look out to the stadium and see New York City across. We're not going to be able to do that, unfortunately.
I mean, we wouldn't be able to travel up, right?
Well, not when you have baseball tryouts at noon on Saturday.
Wait, no. Would we be able to if I didn't have
it? Yeah.
Oh,
no, that's the way it works, unfortunately.